This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan-Rusen, community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how you doing today?
Gino, doing well, my friend. Loving the momentum we're having for business, loving the momentum students are having, and really reflecting on this year and setting goals for next year. What's going on in your world?
What a better way to spend a day than next to Josh doing a podcast on the Movers and Shakers.
Let's go. All right, so today we have two really awesome guests, Matt Buchowski and Mike Turkle. Matt and Mike joined Jake and Gino May of 2021 and are co-founders of Take Flight Properties, which acquires and manages value-add single-family and multifamily properties. They recently closed on their second acquisition in 100 days and are continuing to make it happen. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Matt and Mike.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Pretty excited.
Mike and Matt, let me ask the first question. How did you guys get together with this real estate venture? How did you decide to partner up?
Matt, you want to take that one?
Yeah. So believe it or not, our kids were in daycare together. So when I first moved to Texas back in 2014, Mike had just, I think he had just left the company that I was working for, and our kids were still in the same daycare. So we got into like the birthday party circuit, and then we were at some party and I overheard Mike talk about real estate. And then the next birthday party, I asked him about it and I had just closed the deal. And he said, hey, if you ever had a deal, you know, let me know. And then sure enough, we found one shortly thereafter. And that's how we got into business together.
Did you guys get into the single family space or multifamily right away?
So the first deal we actually did together was an 8-unit multifamily property here in Arlington, Texas. So, and it was a doozy, but it was a great learning experience for us.
What made it a doozy, Mike?
I think there were so many firsts for us. You know, number one, the area, the class of property. I don't think I ever would have done it if it wasn't for Matt. You know, he was excited about it. I looked at it, I said, hey, let's make the financials work on this one and let's go. But I mean, we had everything from a hoarder in there to just, you know, just terrible tenants. When we acquired it, we had to do a heavy, heavy value add, just completely rehab everything. So it was a great first experience. We had so many awesome learnings from that one. We self-managed it. So that was kind of our first time really dipping our toe in that type of, you know, that class of property and really learning what it takes to kind of run and operate it.
Matt, what was your perspective on it?
Yeah, it was definitely a doozy. So it's a funny story about this, right? So the deal was on MLS. And before Mike and I had hooked up, I made a blind offer on it. Like I had the kids that day. I couldn't go see it. So I made a blind offer. I got declined. They called us back a few weeks later and said, hey, the buyer dropped out. Do you still want it? So that's when I reached out to Mike. And you know, I had just heard something on Bigger Pockets. I think Brandon was like 50% of a deal is better than 100% of no deal. So I was like, this is a sign. I got to call Mike. So I called Mike. We made the numbers work. Mike also forgot another thing. Is we had a tenant get evicted the day we closed. So it was just a mess from the get-go. But we knew we were in for a lot of work. We met with our first round of GCs. We met with City of Arlington was on us like day two because the eviction had stuff in the street. It was just a big project, but I would not have been able to do it myself. And you know, we're just really thankful that Mike and I cut our teeth on it.
You know, let me ask you this. Even though that deal was a doozy, are you glad you did it and why?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Matt calculated the numbers on this deal. I think it was, 300 or 400% total return over the 3 to 4 year hold that we had it. We just recently sold it. And, you know, we were reflecting back on this deal. It was kind of our first baby. And you know, I think we each put in $50,000 to kind of start Take Flight. And that was our first acquisition. And we didn't put a single dollar into the company since we bought that property. And that enabled us to buy 3-4 other properties just from the passive income that we got from that property. We use that for down payments on other. We actually bought some single families and we tried our hand at a couple flips. But that got us rolling. And, that was just so awesome. We did a refi, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago, took money from that, bought more. We got another fourplex out of that. So it was, you know, at first we're like, what do we get ourselves into? But man, it paid dividends for us as we went forward.
What is your reflection back on that, Matt?
So many learnings, right? Number one, just kind of take the leap of faith. You know, mm-hmm. I remember when Mike and I were negotiating a deal, we were up until probably midnight for better part of 2 weeks, just sharpening the pencil and going through the numbers. So we kind of learned to communicate, and then we learned to execute. You know, one of us was at the property a couple of times a week, checking on the progress of the rehab. But once you're in it, it's hard to turn it off, right? Mm-hmm. So deals started to come to us. I always say to Mike, like, whenever we're looking for the next deal, as soon as we close, we're going to find one shortly thereafter, because you're talking to brokers, you're letting them know you're in the market. And then the power of compound interest, like to Mike's point, we haven't taken a whole lot of money. We haven't taken any money out for ourselves since we started, but we have millions of dollars in assets now that funded itself out of this original 8 unit, plus the 300% net profit that we pulled out of it when we sold it and did the refi. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a matter of understanding where you're at, being conservative. Don't like use the money to go get rich. And if you're serious about this, use the snowball, use the compound mm-hmm. effect. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't be where we are today if we hadn't learned all those lessons back then. And I think there's actually a lot to learn from self-managing, right? Like I remember like a few months after we closed, I got a call about a leaky bathtub on Mother's Day. And I was like married at the time. And I texted Mike and he's like, yeah, I'll leave it. And I'm like, I grabbed my toolbox. I'm like, gotta go fix a bathtub. And like, it's the total AMA mentality. And I drove out to Arlington on Mother's Day, got the gas face and got back in time for dinner. But we did everything ourselves. And now we know what not to do. But we also know the type of standards that we expect from property management companies that we talk to.
Let's look at it through the lens of the buy right, manage right, and finance right framework. Now, I want to go back and let's diagnose some of those mistakes and some of the things you've learned. And maybe some of the things you would have done differently on this deal when you closed. Maybe getting a lower price, maybe not even buying the deal because of, let's say, median income or tenant mix or that part. Let's go first, Mike, through the buy right. What would you have done differently on this? And I know since then you probably created a buy right criteria. Now you can't say you can't take it back because it's done so well for you. But would you have done anything differently on that buy right criteria? Would you have paid less money? Would you have negotiated differently?
I think we got a really good deal on it. I think if I look back on anything, it was underestimating the overall cost to rehab.
Yes. Great. CapEx tsunami.
So really understanding costs and how much it would take us, you know, to rehab it, how long it would take us to rehab it, right? Obviously, we built a pro forma thinking that, hey, we can turn these units, this quickly mm-hmm. and so forth. So I think just we could have sharpened the pencil, but I think it was just an experience thing, right? We were new at it. And so we learned a lot about that. We made our way through it, obviously, without problem, but it did take us a lot longer. We did run into some unexpected costs. I mean, it was an older vintage property, I think in early 1970s. So there were some things that came up that we just, you know, we weren't aware of, but that we needed to deal with. So
that's awesome. And for you, Matt?
I think we did a good job on buying right. Yeah, maybe, you know, there's always that extra 5 or 10 grand that you think you could have clipped. But if we had pushed too hard, we might have lost the deal and we wouldn't be here today, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's important, right? Is the experience worth the 5 or 10 grand that you want to, you know, kind of grind the seller down on? Mm-hmm. To me, it was, I think we did a good job on finance, right? We shopped the deal to a bunch of different lenders early on. We took the most attractive package. But to manage right, we didn't. Right. We didn't. We had the complete AMA mentality. We did everything ourselves. And, you know, Mike and I had a number of conversations probably over the course of the last year and a half about turning this thing over to a property manager. And candidly, I fought that tooth and nail because I didn't want to lose the cash flow. But once we did that, it freed up so much time for us to go start shopping for new deals. So I probably should have listened to Mike about a year ago. So sorry, Mike. Love you, man.
Josh says that to me all the time. He should have listened to me. And he comes back, he goes, no, you're right. So, Mike, I feel your pain. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's okay. We let these guys run. They let them run wild. And then they come back and go, you know, I guess I should have listened to you. So it's a good feeling, isn't it, Mike? Anyway, Mike, once you guys joined the Jake and Gino community, what was the big learning lesson, the big takeaways that if you had had that education before? Because I hear Matt saying the I'm mentality. And that's one of the things that I take away because I was the I'm mentality. We were cutting the grass. We were doing the bookkeeping. We were editing the podcast. The list goes on and on. Until you surround yourself with like-minded people and people who want to become entrepreneurs, getting rid of those tasks and delegating those tasks and working on closing an 18 unit now, closing a 16 unit now, implementing systems, getting investors, all of that. You know, what were the big takeaways once you joined the community?
Well, I think there was two for me. One is, you know, I thought I knew everything and I really didn't, right? I mean, starting to go through the training was just absolutely fantastic, right? I think, you know, it on one hand, it definitely reaffirmed a lot of the things that, you know, I had thought, and you'd hear it and say, yes, this makes sense. This is great. And there was a lot of great nuggets of stuff that I didn't have experience. And I was like, man, I was way off on some of these things. So, so I think just getting into the training was definitely very helpful, even though I thought I was somewhat seasoned, even though I only had an 8-unit property. And I think the other, you know, aspect of it was just being around just, you know, expert coaches, right? So when we had doubts or limiting beliefs, or we were just, you know, questioning, you know, is this right? Or Matt and I were ruminating back and forth on stuff. We could tap into our coaches, tap into the Jake and Gino network, reach out on the Facebook group and get answers. And it just would either reaffirm or it would put us in the right direction. So I think those were two really awesome things that, at least from my perspective, we've gotten out of this so far.
And Matt, what about you?
I'm going to quote our friend Luke Wren and say proximity is power, right? And I think when you put yourself in a community and you put yourself in a room with people that have very similar goals for themselves, it's rising tides lift all boats, right? And let's see how many more cliches I can jam into this one response. but I think to Mike's point, there were a lot of things that we were questioning with each other about underwriting, about areas, about business strategy. And being in the community actually helped us realize that a lot of the things that, to Mike's point, we had been ruminating over, we were actually on the right course. We just didn't have the compass, right? And by talking to people, we quickly realized that we were moving in the right direction. We just didn't really know it. It helped us, you know, we spend a lot less time, I think, at some level. We spend a lot less time getting caught in the weeds, right? We quickly reach out to, you know, one of our coaches, Bill or Nick or someone else in the community. We put something out on a Facebook channel. We get, you know, 16 different responses. So I think it's speed to decision, confidence building, confidence leads to progress. And just being around a bunch of people that know the struggle and are figuring stuff out and legitimately want to help others be successful. I think you put all those ingredients together and it's magic.
I love that answer. You guys close on the 16 unit first and then the 18 unit. How did you find that first deal that led to the second deal, Mike?
So the first deal we found on MLS, and I think I saw it and I said, hey, Matt, we should take a look at this. It's right down the street from the 8-unit that we had purchased. We know the area really well. We love the area. It was a similar, you know, Class C type property, another value add play. Said, hey, this is just right up our alley. But you know, it was super hyper competitive. You know, the asking price was astronomical, and that was the property Matt actually toured on the way back from the Managed Right boot camp. He's like, I'm gonna stop by on the way back from the airport. He went over and looked at it. I think we even didn't we throw a blind offer in, Matt? I think yes. While we were at the boot camp, I think we just submitted an offer, just like, let's just go grab this thing.
Yeah, that was the best part. We're like sitting there multitasking. I'm sure everybody's like, who are these guys pounding on their keyboard? I'm sending out the DocuSign to Mike. Mike's signing it. We sent it over to our broker, like, send this in. And they responded the next day.
And you guys got the deal from that response?
A couple of days later, we went to contract.
Yeah. Wow. So you say proximity. That's even totally different. You're talking about proximity, but you're also talking about energy, like Luke Brent talks about. That energy is contagious. So if you're sitting by yourself on a Saturday morning watching TV, you're not putting in that offer. I'm sorry, that's not happening. But the fact that you're in there, you're at a Managed Right boot camp. You just toured our properties and you're saying, this is what I see. I see this. I'm going to take action on this thing. That changes the script for everything. There's a 16 unit you take over. And then let's talk about the next deal. The next deal is right down the street, the next door, another mom and pop, correct, Mike?
Yep. Yeah. So this was literally immediately next to it. These 18 units and the broker. So we actually had a couple things happen. One is one of our friends sent some letters out to some of the owners of the other properties in the area. Mm-hmm. And we also had our broker that represented us on the 16 unit reach out and said, hey, this next set of units is coming available. You know, they're looking to sell. So we ended up connecting with the owner through the broker and even direct. And you know, they said, here's what we want. We said, we'll take it. And you know, they really wanted to sell the property to us, since we owned the grouping, you know, next door to it. They felt like it really belonged together. I think these people have owned it for, I don't know, like 20, 30 years, a long time, a mom and pop. And, I mean, they live nearby. We met them, very old school. But yeah, they said they wanted to sell it to us. And, so we went forward and made it happen.
So Matt, what is your strategy on these two deals? They both value-add deals, raising rents, getting to market, and give me an idea of what your exit strategy is on these deals as well.
Yeah. So, a huge value-add on both sides, both properties, right? I think rents are on average 60 to 65% of market rents right now.
Wow.
So we have a lot of upside to go achieve.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a full interior and exterior overhaul. We fixed a couple of roofs. We're doing new flooring, new paint, new lighting, countertops, appliances, vanities. We're pretty much doing everything with the exception of the tub surrounds, and mm-hmm. and yeah, we'll probably reglaze some of those. We're going to be painting the exterior. We did new exterior doors, new windows, pretty much everything. We did some new hardscape, and you know, we actually just got our first four units online last week, and we did an open house and filled all four of them in 2 hours. So I think not only is the continued demand that we expected to be there, but quite frankly, I think we nobody pushed back on the price. So I think we probably have a little bit more upside to go when the next round becomes available after the turn of the year.
Can you share with me and the listeners what the rehab cost was? I mean, when Mike says the budgeting, how was your budgeting this time along? Because remember, everyone says think big and go big, but start small, the 8 unit, take your lumps. And now all of a sudden, you got this deal on, you know exactly what you're needing to turn, getting 4 units on. How is this one compared to the first?
Yeah. So I think the first one we budgeted 450, Mike.
Yeah, right around 400.
Yeah, 400 or 450. And then the second one, we're putting $500,000 into rehab on that one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pretty heavy, mm-hmm. 25, 20, over 25 a door. But that's a combination inside and outside. It's on a great block. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and we're literally down the block from brand new A-class construction that's been put in probably 2 or 3 years old. We think that the whole block will gentrify if we take the leadership position, and if we can take this and resurrect it the way we can, we'll continue to chip away at some of the other owners on the block. And frankly, our strategy is to own the entire block here as quickly as possible. It's a great area. It's across from a park. It's down the block from a major bank, bank's office. It's a couple of blocks from University of Texas at Arlington. So it's a fantastic area of just begging to be gentrified.
And your exit strategy, is it to refi and to hold the property?
Yeah. So we're on bridge financing right now. We'll refi by the end of year two, once we rebuild the T12. And then we've set expectations with our investors that, it's a 5-year hold.
Awesome. Really good. Last question before we go to the short answers for each one of you. What is your goal in the next 3 to 5 years with real estate? What do you want real estate to accomplish for you? Mike first.
For me, I wanted to, continue to drive and grow my passive income stream. I'm super passionate about real estate. I love how Matt and I kind of started out with 8 units. Now we're at 34. Now we're starting to look for 75 to 150 mm-hmm. from a size perspective. We're ready to move from more of a regular structured partnership and do our first true syndication. From a goal perspective in 3 to 5 years, I would love to see the passive income stream where I could potentially go do this full time. The bigger the deals we get, it's definitely more time consuming. So at some point you're going to have to make that leap. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my long-term goal here.
Thank you, Matt.
Yes. Yeah, very much the same. And I'd much rather it be 3 years than 5 years, to be honest. I had a goal to do it by the time I'm 45. Hopefully we get there, but another year or so won't kill me. I think that it's not just the money. To me, I love building teams at my W-2. I love helping people become successful, but I'd also really love to be able to drop my kids off from school, off of school, hit the gym, go see properties, go talk to Mike, go raise money, right? And just have that more, you know, free lifestyle. Not, you know, I'll never not work, but I'd love at one point to be able to just work under my terms.
Before we go to break, I want to just recap this for everybody, because this is very important. Bill Ham, our coach, talks about the conveyor belt. We're trademarking that conveyor belt. This is the classic conveyor belt analogy. Get a deal on the conveyor belt. If you're thinking to yourself, now is not the time to get into multifamily, you're kidding yourself. It's only the right time when you, Mike and Matt, get together and say, okay, let's get together. They've been to daycare for a year. They putzed around. Then they finally said, you know what? It's time to get together. Asset prices have been high for the last 4 to 5 years. So you can constantly say we're at the top of the market, we're at the top of the market. Get an asset on that conveyor belt. Let it start moving. 300% is not bad for an 8-unit deal, because then all of a sudden 8 units become 16, and then it becomes 18. They have the cash flow conveyor belt. And one other thing I'm really proud of the two of you is that you didn't go out and buy the Lambos and buy the cars. You reinvested it into the business. That's very important, everybody. Utilize that. That cash flow can help you with your bills and your expenses. But when you get that big equity, those big checks on that conveyor belt, go back in and buy those deals and reinvest that equity. So great strategy. If you're thinking about it, it's not the right time, go back and listen to this, because they could have said the same thing a couple of years ago. They were comfortable in their W-2s, but they just knew something's happening. I want more. And it's not just about the money. It's about the time freedom, and it's about building something, which is really cool. And also the partnership that you two have, it's great. You know, I'm next to my boy right here. I love working with people. And if you love working with people, real estate is one of the best ventures to get into, to work with teams. There's so many different facets of the business. So I'm going to let my boy take over in a second. Let's take a moment and hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, gentlemen, what is your best habit for success and why?
Matt first.
For me, it's staying fit. When I moved to Texas in 2014, I was well over 300 pounds. And since moving, since coming here, I've lost over 100 pounds in the last 10, probably two or three different times. So I think, you know, just the clarity that that creates, the habits and the behaviors that that creates, it's also, I'm constantly testing myself now and challenging myself to do different things, because frankly, losing 100 pounds ain't easy, right? So half marathons, Spartan races, all kinds of stuff. I think the energy that's freed up, and some of the new behaviors and sleep and all the other things that's created, has helped me become more clear on my goals and given me the energy to stay up late with Mike till 11 or 12 o'clock adjudicating deals and finding the energy to constantly push.
Awesome. Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, and this is me, sound a little bit different, but it's in this world today, in this dynamic, you know, for me, it's assuming positive intent from people. You know, there's so much communication is done these days with email, with text, things like that. Having a partnership, you know, it's definitely challenging. There's different personalities involved. But I think to really stay successful, to really focus forward, it's assuming positive intent from your partners and from others, that everybody's intentions is genuine and good. And so that's kind of what I live by.
Boom. Love that, gentlemen. All right. What about favorite book and why? Mike, we'll start with you on this one.
So one of the books that I really enjoyed reading was a book called The Element. And it really talks about kind of the intersection of, doing what you love and what you enjoy and what you're good at, and really finding and getting into that element. And, it's a great read. It really talks about, you know, kind of getting to where your passion is. And ultimately, you know, when you work and do things that you love, it's not work, right? It's just, you're just doing it because you love it. And so the book really talks about that.
Matt?
I came up with two. I think the one thing for me has been really impactful personally and professionally. Prioritization, constant balancing between work, life, super important, tons of great lessons in there. And then still to this day, one of the most impactful books I've ever read was Phil Jackson's 11 Rings, where he talks about coaching the Bulls and coaching the Lakers and how coming at coaching from a different perspective help him drive different levels of team camaraderie and managing egos and choosing position players and stuff. Still one of the best books I've ever read.
Man, I've never read that one. I'll have to read it. All right. So listen, I've loved this episode. And one huge takeaway that stood out to me was it's very important to tell people what you do. And the example of that is literally your partnership. If Mike, you wouldn't have been having the conversation about real estate that Matt overheard, none of this would be in existence right now. So make sure people know what you're doing, and you never know where it'll lead to. Gino, what do you got to add to it?
I have a couple of really big takeaways. I like what Matt said. Don't overthink stuff, everybody. When you start analysis paralysis, that's why you need a Jake and Gino community. That's why you need a Mike Turk on your side saying, hey, it's probably the opposite. You know, Matt, why are we overthinking this? Let's do this. It's an 8-unit deal. You know, what's the downside? And having that accountability partner to push you. Is it if you're locked in and you've done the training and you've done your education and you've underwritten a deal and you've got people telling you it looks like a good deal, you need to take that leap of faith ultimately. And I think the second one is I just did a podcast with Muriel on his book Indistractable and Hooked. And I keep mentioning this quote, your perception of who you are changes what you do. And to Matt's story, losing 100 pounds, you don't just lose 100 pounds because you go on a diet. You change your perception of who you are. Now, Matt is a marathoner. I'm a runner. Matt is a healthy person. That's when you start identifying it. And now Matt and Mike, they're doing that in their multifamily careers and their businesses. Now they're transitioning and their perception of who they are right now is they're forming this amazing partnership. They're working together. They have very similar goals, everybody. If you haven't been paying attention, their answers were very similar. You need to be on the same page with your partnership. You may have different skill sets, which is great to be complementary, but at the same time, you need to be on that same page and having that perception of becoming a multifamily investor. What do multifamily investors do? They go to boot camps. They sit there. They put in offers. They do property tours. Then they call the broker and say, how about the one next door? All right. And then what else do? They continue to rehab the deals and continue to underwrite deals and stay up at 11 o'clock and do that work. That's what ultimately leads to your success, is changing that perception of who you are from that W-2 employee or the pizza guy, or the salesperson into a multifamily investor. And we can all do that, but you need to surround yourself with like-minded people. And the last thing is that proximity that Lou Brennan talks about. It's so underestimated. We've heard Jim Rohn saying the five people you surround yourself with. That cannot be underestimated, because when you get off this call and you stop listening to this, who are you sitting next to? Who are you talking to? That's so important to your success.
Man, that's powerful. How can the listeners get a hold of you today?
You can find us on Facebook, Take Flight Properties. You can find us on LinkedIn, Take Flight Properties. We're on Instagram as well. You can reach out to me anywhere on any of those socials. Mike, what about you?
Same way. Yep. LinkedIn, Facebook. We're very active on both those communities. We post frequently and we share our journey, you know, what we're doing, where we're going. It's been great. You know, our followers have been increasing steadily. And so we just love to share the journey and what we've been doing and where we're at today.
Guys, keep it up. Saw you at MM4. Hope to see you at a couple more boot camps this year. Hope to see you continuing to post on the private Facebook group, adding value to the community, because it's great, because we need to see people continue to taking deals down in this market when everyone says everything's hot. There are deals out there. We are continuously doing deals and looking at deals. So if you focus on what you want, you ask yourself the right questions, and you continue to put in the work, sooner or later, these deals are going to be attractive to you.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, with that one, let's make it a Movers and Shakers week. I would appreciate you guys for being guests on the show. And I will see you in January in Phoenix at the Buy Right Bootcamp. And then in March, in your state of Texas, in Austin.
In Austin.
So take care, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.